in the book of Hebrews. We're going to look in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. And we're going to read toward the end, if you will. We have studied some of the other parts at different times in the beginning of that chapter about Christ Jesus being our high priest. And there is, along in this stretch, in the writings that I think it's Paul, nobody's real sure necessarily of that, but it sure does sound like Paul in these writings. He's writing, obviously, if you read the title of everything, he's writing to the Hebrews, right? He's writing to a group of people that are supposed to have put their faith in Christ, but now, somewhere along the line, somebody has talked to them or tried to convince them of some other things to be mixed in with their salvation by grace. They said, well, yeah, you can be saved by grace, but you still got to keep the law. You still have to do some of these Jewish traditional things. You know, they tried to mix that. And there's even people today that will tell you and me the same thing. I just want to tell you, you're saved by grace. And that's plus nothing or minus nothing. You are saved by grace. Now, in that, we're supposed to have a growth, and we're supposed to get some knowledge and understand some stuff and do some things because we are saved, but it's not necessarily so that everybody gets there, okay? So that's the point that I think Paul is getting to as he begins to write this. But he's been talking about, you know, all of these things and how that this is where these people should be headed. It's basically, if you'll remember in the beginning, in chapter number 1, he is saying that God has given us in times past, he gave us the prophets and the Word of God in that way. But in these last days, he's given us his Son, and the Word of God came by him. And then the instruction follows in chapters 1 and 2 and 3. It builds, chapter 4, it builds on into the idea that they knew. Now, you and I read about the high priest. We don't know maybe so much about that other than maybe the little bit that we have read. But they knew a lot more about those offices and those functions than you and I do. So to really get a great understanding of this like we ought to have, you just about have to go back and do some Jewish history studies and maybe even especially Old Testament stuff. But anyway, we're not going to go there, obviously. But Paul, the writer here, is giving them and saying, look, and the whole idea is this, if you go back and study it, that Jesus is better than the things of the Old Testament. I mean, those were pictures, those were types, those were shadows of some things that are coming, but now we have the reality of Jesus. So he's teaching them and preaching to them and setting them straight on some of those things. In chapter number 5, he's continued the thought of the high priest and the functions of the high priest. And in chapter number 5, as he starts in verse 5, and we're not going to read that, but as he starts there, he talks about how that in the Old Testament it was said that Jesus was coming and he was going to be a high priest in verse number 6, as he also said in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek is one of those mysterious figures from the Old Testament, a lot of stuff that people would like to know about him, but the introduction is here, and it's probably assumed that they know a lot about Melchizedek. Melchizedek, you find back in the days of Abraham. And if you want to study that, go back in the book of Genesis, you can find that. But it talks about how that Jesus is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then again, he says there in verse number 7, he said, though he were a son, this is talking about Jesus, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He repeats that. And then in verse number 11, he starts a little It's probably, you know, if you had the opportunity to, they didn't, but we could put a parenthesis in there. And this is what he says in this parenthetical thought, of whom we have many things to say. Now the writer says, I've still got a lot of stuff to say about Jesus and about him being our high priest. Got a lot of stuff to say. He said, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, I thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for loving us and for the word of God. Now, I pray now you just help us to open this and understand it and speak to our hearts and give us direction, give us some wisdom, give us some insight into your scriptures. And again, we'll just thank you and we'll give you praise and worship for all you do for us. We love you and we thank you for being our God and for meeting our needs now. We love you for that. And I pray, God, that you just add your touch and add your blessing. Now, just stir our hearts tonight to be drawn closer to you and made more like you. And again, we'll thank you. We'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Well, as the writer is writing here, and again, I say it's Paul. We'll just say that it's Paul and use him. As Paul is writing here, he is discussing with these folks. He's saying, look, there are some things that you should know because you're saved and you've been saved a while. And you should have understood, you should have grown, you should have had some maturity. So that's what I want to preach to you tonight on about grow up. Okay? Grow up. Let's just talk about that tonight, about growing up as we ought to in the Lord. So let's listen to a few things that the writer is saying here. He's saying, look, you know, don't be weak in your faith and your understanding of Jesus. He's been going through this process and he's saying, okay, we've got a high priest. Now, you know, pretty obvious and pretty well known to all of us that we can view Jesus as our high priest because he does what a high priest functions as in the Old Testament. He functions as the priest that takes an offering and gives it to God and does it in a perfect way, and it's a perfect sacrifice and it's accepted of God and it does the job that God wanted done. Amen. But the great thing about this is Jesus is the only high priest that we will ever need. Amen. He's the only high priest that we'll ever need. And because of that, the writer, Paul, here is making the emphasis that he is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. What he's meaning by that is that, hey, he's not a high priest like the Old Testament high priest. The Old Testament high priest came from the lineage of Levi, and we knew that they came down through the tribe of Levi and through the descendancy of Aaron, who was the first high priest, Moses' brother, and you can follow that along. As you follow that along, you see, hey, we've got a high priest, and this high priest goes like this, and then all of a sudden, we start talking about another high priest, whose name is Jesus, but he's not of the same descent as those of the Old Testament. You know why? Because God said, I've got one that's better. Amen. And so Jesus is better, and God says he is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And again in verse 10, called of God and a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. God is the one that put him in. God is the one that ordained him. God is the one that anointed and appointed him. And brother, I'm telling you, he is better than those of the Old Testament. So again, he's just trying to get to that point and that thought in mind that all of this is better than what you saw the shadows and the pictures and the types of in the Old Testament. So he's saying, look, you got to see who Jesus is as high priest. But look what he says in verse number 11. He says, of whom? And again, he's talking about Jesus as high priest and in that place. of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. He is saying this. Look, first of all, he's talking about you need to learn how to face your immaturity. You need to learn how to face the fact that you are immature in your Christian thinking. And I'll tell you, I believe we got a lot of folks today that need to face that same fact in their lives, that we are immature in our Christian thinking. Do you see how he lays this out for them? He says, look, there are some things that I need to say, is what Paul writes. He said, of whom, speaking of Jesus again, we have many things to say. And he said, and they're hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. First of all, I want you to realize this, that he recognizes and says, I know about your dullness. I know about your dullness. Boy, and when he's saying that word dull, do you know what that word dull really means? It means lazy or slothfulness. It means to be like, we got folks today, they may know about Jesus and they may hear about, but they're not really honed in on the interest of who Jesus really is. I'm telling you, as Christians, we ought to have our hearts challenged and our thinking challenged and our lives really challenged to the fact of who Jesus is to every one of us. But you see what Paul said? He said, we've got a lot of stuff to say. Hey, can I tell you, there'd be a lot of preachers would have a lot of stuff to say today about Jesus. But you know what? Baby Christians just can't handle it too good. I mean, and that's probably sad to say, the majority of many folks in church, they just can't handle what ought to be said and what needs to be said about who Jesus is. Well, why is that, preacher? Well, Paul says here there are some things that he needs to say, but they are not easily understood. Do you see what he says? He said, of whom we have many things to say. He said, and hard to be uttered. That doesn't mean that it's hard for people to, you know, they're hard of hearing. It just means they don't want to hear it. It just means it's like, well, that's not important. That doesn't mean, that's for you preacher types. That's for you theologians. That's for you educated. It's for you that, no, sir, it's for every one of us as Christians to see who Jesus is and what he does for every one of us. Amen? That's what he's saying. Look, y'all ought to see who Jesus is, and you ought to know what he does. We talked about a little bit about that this morning, don't we? Brother, you ought to think about all the stuff that Christ has done for you. I'm not, and I don't think the Bible indicates that we all have to be deep theologians, right? Because I'm probably the shallowest thing there is here in the whole auditorium today. But I'm telling you, brother, we need to know more and more about him. I mean, Paul's intent and Paul's heart was this. When he wrote over in the book of Philippians, he said, I got rid of everything that I was, all of my activity, all of my accomplishments, all of my doings as I was with the Pharisee. He said, all of that became as dung to me that I may win Christ and be found in him. He said, that I may know him. Paul said, I want to know more about him. And I believe you and me as Christians, we ought to want to know more about Jesus. Do you want to know more about him? You know, that song that we sing sometimes, I think it's in that Redback book, says, more and more about Jesus, more and more about Jesus. I mean, we ought to want to know more about him. Amen? There's another song in the songbook, in the Redback book, says, I want to know more about my Lord. Amen? You know, when we sing those songs, some of us will just quit singing because you don't want to know more. You say, well, I know enough. You don't. None of us know enough. But he says, look, the reason is that we are lazy. Amen? I mean, it's hard to be understand or hard to understand. It's not easy. But some people are just not eager to hear. You see what he said? It's hard to be uttered. But look what he says. Seeing, understanding that ye are dull of hearing. Your hearing's got dull. I mean, you've got sluggish. You have gotten dragged down. You have gotten sidetracked. You have gotten your mind somewhere else. Hey, I'm telling you, you and I, it's hard for those things. They're not easily understood. But, buddy, it makes it even harder when you just get lazy. You know, amen. I remember one time when we was kids, Daddy was talking about some guy he worked with. He said, "That's the laziest man on earth." And I said, "Man, what do you mean by that?" He said, "That old boy said he's so lazy. He laid down on the ground one day. He looked up and he said, 'Breath.' He said, 'I'm tired of drawing you in. If you want me to live, come to me.'" Amen. You ever heard anybody that lazy? They didn't even want to breathe. Amen. Huh? My mama used to kid us when we, or she wasn't kidding. She was talking about, so she said, "They're so lazy, they wouldn't get a job tasting pies at that pie factory." Amen. I hope they're hiring. I'll go find one right there. But I'm just telling you, there are some folks that they are just plumb, I mean, lazy, don't want to do that. And it's just like, "Well, preacher, if I'm going to get it, hey, you're going to have to spoon feed it to me." Shame on us for being that kind of Christian. Somebody got to spoon feed you everything. You're in trouble. I mean, he says, look, we see that there are people that have a dullness about them. I know some of this stuff is not easy to understand for any of them. But can I tell you, the secret to it is still, you can pray, you can study, you can get in the Bible just like the rest of us and see what God will open up to you. Amen? Because that's what he does. I mean, but not only does he talk about their dullness, he said, look, you need to face your place of immaturity. And he talks about their dullness, but he also talks about their delay. There is a delayed process in a lot of folks' lives. Look what he says. He says, "For in verse 12, for when the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Now, wouldn't we think it very strange if, as your children begin to grow, and as we say, we wean them from the bottle, and they begin to get bigger and bigger, you know what they start doing? They start eating at the table, don't they? And now, I'll guarantee you, not that every little kid, "Oh, well, you know, they got off the bottle, let's go fix them a steak." No, it doesn't work like that. They got to work up to those things gradually. But eventually, you get there, right? Eventually, you get to the place where you can eat something stronger than just baby formula, right? Wouldn't that be silly? I mean, you know, y'all invite me over to the house. "Preacher, come over. We're fixing something." "Well, what do y'all got?" "Well, we're going to have fried chicken, and we're going to have mashed potatoes and pinto beans and cornbread." "Well, could you be sure and fix me a side plate with just some Similac in it?" Y'all'd look at me like I was some kind of nut, wouldn't you? "Well, that's what I eat. I've been eating it ever since my mama gave birth to me. I've been drinking them bottles. And if you got any nice little glass bottles with a little rubber nipple on, I'll take one of them too." Huh? Wouldn't that be silly? Well, that's exactly what Paul is saying right here. They have a delayed onset in their thinking, their reaction, and their doings. He said, you should have graduated from some things and be ready to help somebody else. You see what he says? For when the time you ought to be teachers. He said, the time now is, you've been in this long enough, you ought to have grown up some. You ought to have graduated from some of these silly things and some of these lesser things and some of the, not silly, but lower things, lesser. You ought to have grown and got big enough now that he said, you ought to be a teacher. You ought to be able to teach somebody. He said, it's amazing that you have not graduated to that position. He said, you ought to be graduated and you ought to be able to help teach others. Amen? I'm just telling you. Now look, I know everybody. Some people come, "Oh, preacher, I'm not comfortable teaching." Okay, I got it. But I'm telling you, if somebody sat down with you one-on-one and said, "Can you help me study some things in my Bible?" You ought to be able to help them. You ought to be able to say, "Well, you know, this is a little deep, or this is a little bit deeper. This is something we got to look at." And when you begin to look at it, you know what? You can help them understand it. You can break it down. The time is now. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. The kids that are coming along, and let's just even say young adults that are coming along now, they're not going to learn until God gives us somebody to help teach them, right? Isn't that the way it is at your house? I mean, isn't that, and I'll just go ahead and say this. That's why God gives kids mamas and daddies. Y'all just buckle your seatbelt for a minute. Hang on. Well, preacher, my kid come to me, and he said he doesn't know if he's a boy or a girl. And we're just going to let him figure. You're dumb as a rock. Amen? I mean, where is your brain gone? God gave parents to help guide those children. Amen? Am I right or am I wrong? Well, we're going to let them figure. God didn't put you here to let them just figure it out. Amen? God gave us the Word of God. God gave us preachers, teachers, evangelists, men such as that, to preach the Word of God and to better help us understand, eat it in, digest it, and grow up and help somebody else. Amen. That's what it's all about. But we've got to, I don't want to mess with their little ego. Mess with it. Amen. Somebody messed with mine when I was growing up. Well, I just think I'll go do this. My daddy'd say, you better think again. Hallelujah. Right? Amen. I mean, hey, and I believe that is exactly why God has set up the household. God has set up the family, organized things. As if, guess what? The kids ain't at the top. Somebody say amen right there. I'm just telling you, God's up here. Daddy's here. Mama's here. Kids are way down there on the totem pole. Their time will come when they'll grow up and they get to be parents. But you know how they get to be good parents? Because somebody taught them how to do some of the things that they do. Isn't it amazing? Hey, some of y'all, you like me, you go look in the mirror sometime. You know what? I see my daddy. Huh? I begin, how'd that happen? I'm about like Pawpaw is. I've about lost my mind now. You know, you think, wow, I can't believe that. It just blows your mind. That you're thinking like them. You know why? Because that's the way that God has instituted this whole thing. And God has also instituted that there should be older, matured, understanding Christians that help those that are younger Christians. He has put that into place. He has put that organizational pattern into the Bible and helping me and you understand those things. I mean, he said, look, y'all ought to be graduated well enough that you're helping somebody else. But look what he says. The time is that you ought to be teachers. You see that word ought? Anytime you see the word ought in your Bible, it means that you have a defined obligation to meet that need. I mean, it's a definite, defined obligation to meet that need. He said, it is the time that you understand you're obligated to help somebody else. You see somebody out here struggling, well, mess with them. They just mess up they want to. You and I should go help them. We should teach them. We should encourage them. We should maybe, if the situation calls, correct them. Whatever it may be, you should be there for that specific reason. That's what he's saying. The time is, you ought to be a teacher. He said, but now, he said, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God and are become such as have need of milk and not a strong lead. He said, look, you should have graduated and be graduating and helping somebody, but now you need to be back in grade school. You know what? You got to go back and learn the ABCs all over again. I know we was talking with our youngest granddaughter. She had a little, she's in kindergarten, and she got you know, one of those little graduation things, and they were doing and calling names and whatever, and she started talking about some of her little friends. And I said, well, what about, and she named somebody, and I named them back to her, and I said, it's going to be fun being in the first grade with them. She said, oh, Poppy, they ain't going to be in the first grade. And I said, well, what does that mean? She said, they're going to have to go back and do kindergarten again. I said, wow. That's pretty tough, ain't it? I mean, wow. Now, I understand there are going to be kids like that. I understand that's going to happen. And you know what? It's pretty sad for us. It's pretty sad. And I said, well, you know, what's the problem? They don't listen. Amen, right there. On some Christian folks sometimes too. They don't listen very well. He said, the time is, you ought to be a teacher. But now we're having to go back and teach you again. Amen. You know what most of us got in trouble for in school, really? We wasn't listening. We wanted to play. We wanted to look out the window. We wanted to talk to our buddies. Or we wanted, you know, whatever it was we were doing. We wasn't paying any attention to what was going on. Shake your head because you was there too. Amen. Get them ears and say, come here, boy. Let me get you straightened out. Hey, let me tell you, we need to be paying attention. He said, the time is, you ought to be a teacher, not somebody having to come back and teach you all over again. It's like you got to go back to grade school and you got to do the ABC, 1, 2, 3, look at me again and again and again, right? But that's where a lot of us have found ourselves because he says, look, the time is when you should be teaching. He said, but now you need that somebody teach. You didn't get it the first time. You weren't listening the first time. You weren't paying attention. You did not apply yourself the first time. Amen? And I'm just telling you, if we would apply ourselves to the principles, the things of the Word of God, man, you just to be amazed at what God can do in your life when you'll take those and you'll learn about faith. You'll learn about his faithfulness. You'll learn how to trust. You'll learn what he can do. You'll see that it'll make a big difference in your life. And I'll just tell you this. There's nobody in this room that has arrived yet, okay? None of us. As a matter of fact, you know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, not that I have apprehended. Paul said, I ain't got it all yet. He said, but I'm striving toward that end. I'm going that way. And I want to tell you, ain't none of us in here got it all yet, but you know what? We ought to be pressing on toward that place in our lives where we understand a little bit more in God today than we did yesterday, okay? So he says, look, first of all, you got to face the fact that you're immature. Face your immaturity. But second of all, he says this, you need to forsake your immaturity. I want you to look there in verse number 13. At what he says. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Do you realize this, that he shows us their disadvantage? The disadvantage is, I'm going to tell y'all something, man, it's easy to whoop up a bottle of milk, ain't it? I mean, if you got a baby, give me that milk. Pour it in there, or that powder, and mix the water with it. Put that bottle top on, that nipple on top. Screw it up, shake her up, warm it up, whatever you got to do. And then sock it in there. You got them fixed. Amen? And you know what? You got a crying baby. You want a fast fix. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, you got that baby. And they're hungry. Mix and fix and sock it in their mouth and let them ride. Amen? But then time comes when those things ought to go, right? But he's saying, look, there's a disadvantage here with that baby stuff. I mean, baby stuff is good, as I say, for the beginning. It's okay. But look what he says. Everyone that useth milk is unskillful. They do not have any skill in the Word of God. Everyone that is there with that, and that word unskillful means that they really haven't used the Word of God anywhere. And you know what? For a young Christian, for a new convert, for somebody that's just getting started, there's nothing wrong with that. You remember when you first got saved? I mean, I do. Well, I didn't know no more about nothing than John 3:16, probably. I mean, I didn't, you know, they'd come up in and they'd say, well, young man, tell us about regeneration. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, tell us what you think about Christ being our propitiation. I don't know. I mean, there would be a lot of things you could take a young Christian and they would not understand that. You know why? They're unskillful. In other words, they have not had any experience, any training, or any teaching in those matters. They're just like, I don't know nothing about. I mean, you want to talk about justification? I don't know. What does that mean? I mean, really, we have folks that get into that situation. But I'm telling you, after a while, you ought to go. Amen? I mean, hey, take any of these little kids. And, you know, sometimes we'll play some games with the grandkids. And here the other day, our youngest granddaughter, she gets a calculator. She says, okay, I'm going to ask y'all some questions. That's a dangerous thing, folks. If you say okay, you're in trouble. She got a calculator and she says, what is 30,385 times 20,215? And they'll look at you and say, come on, got me. We ain't got a lick. You can't use no calculator. That's cheating. I'm like, man, what are you using? I'm just telling you. Hey, there are some things like that. That's dangerous. They don't even know what they're asking, and they're wanting you to do something. And you sure can't solve that, right? I don't think if you can, you see me after church, you're a genius, right? But most of us can't do that kind of stuff in our head. But what I'm saying is, you know, kids, wow, they do learn fast, but they still start out at 1 + 1 = 2, right? They still start out with A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and they begin to build and spell and do all that kind of stuff. We do it that from a babe. And that develops what? Your exercise, your skillfulness in that. They begin by teaching you and say, you know, I'm going to date myself, I guess. Some of y'all have probably been there with me. C-spot run. C-Jane run. I mean, y'all remember that? Dick and Jane did everything in the wide world of sports. And it was all simple 3- and 4-letter words, right? Well, what I'm saying is, that's where you start. But you know what? By the time you got up to the 4th or the 5th or, you know, further up on your elementary education, they had you reading books. They had some of them big words in it, amen? I mean, had some of them 50-cent words, right? And you were able to graduate on up. Everybody that's still down here in the ABCs, you're unskillful. And that's baby stuff. Baby stuff. Hey, when you look at that, as I say, that's showing your immaturity. Hey, you ought to be ready to graduate from that and push on up the road. It's baby stuff. But I'll tell you, hey, the Bible says here in verse number 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Oh, can you remember that? When you could go down to a restaurant, and nowadays you better have your bank account loaded up, but hey, you'd go down there and order a steak, and you'd sit there and eat that. Hey, man, I'm telling you, when you did, you just like, wow, I can't believe I can eat a whole steak, amen? Boy, it's because you had gotten big enough, you had gotten to understand, you know, how to chew, how to cut, how to process it, do all that, and your digestive system had grown, and your body had gotten able to do that, and when you did, you could eat. You know why you could do that? Because you got grown, amen. You'd grown up a bit, and that's what Paul says here. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. You've got to have some age behind you and get out of that baby stuff and get up to the big steak stuff. Amen? I mean, you need to move on up to the next table and grow in your Christian life and forsake that immaturity that you have. And look what he says. He talks about their disadvantage in staying with the baby stuff and you need to get on up to the big stuff. But he says there's a way, or why this is important, because of discernment. Look what he says in verse number 14 at the latter part. He said, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know what he's saying? He is saying to this, those that are of full age, those that are of full age, those that have that experience, that growth, that going up in the things of God, growing up in the things of God, they are developed and they are grown. They have developed and they have grown. Can I tell you a blessing for most pastors we'll look and see that they understand their church people. Not necessarily that the numbers. Everybody likes for numbers to grow. But when you see people that are Christians to grow in their faith. When you look at people and they say, "Preacher, I have learned and I have found through the Word of God these blessings." Hey, man, that thrills a pastor's heart because you know that the preaching that you're doing has done some good. Amen? And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. He said, look, you've got to have some people that are full of age that have by reason of use. Reason of use. Use the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Study the Word of God. I mean, apply the Word of God. Take it and stand upon it. And brother, it'll make you a stronger Christian in your life. You will have developed and grown, and it will give you a discerning mind. You see what he says? Even those who by reason of use, he said, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You will be able to come to a place where you have a discerning mind and understanding about what's going on around you. You'll look at the world and the Lord will show you some things that everybody else is not seeing it the same way. When you begin to see all of the things that are going on in our world today, And God has let you and He's grown you and He's blessed you through His Word, you'll begin to understand. You know, sometimes you'll stand around people and say, "I don't get what's going on over there in the Middle East. Why are those people doing that? Why are they acting this way?" Brother, I can tell you why. God's getting everything set up for this world to come into a place of great deception and the man of sin to step on the scene. I mean, can you see that? I hope you can see that. Because that's where we're headed, right? I mean, we're just said, and listen, I hate the stuff that's going on. I hate all of the evil. I hate all of the anti-Semitism. I hate all of the way that even people in our country of America are turning against the nation of Israel. I hate every bit of that. But guess what? I know that it's got to come to pass. Because that's what God's got written down in His book that's got to come to pass. You remember, I can remember back in the 70s, 1970s, when I was just, you know, my 20s, and you'd hear people talking about, "Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says there's coming a day when there'll be the two prophets in Revelation. And they will come up and preach, and the Antichrist is going to have them slain. And they're going to lay out there in front of an area, and everybody's going to be able to see them." And the Bible says that, right? Over the book of Revelation, here's going to be these two preachers of righteousness, and the beast and the Antichrist, they're going to hate them, and they're going to have them killed. And they're going to lay in out for the public to see them for 3 days. Going to lay there dead. And it says there's going to be rejoicing. They're going to be giving gifts to each other. They're going to be sending cards. They're going to be shouting. And, you know, and somebody said, "How are they going to do that?" Well, welcome to 2026. And even before that, in the 1980s, when we had something that was called CNN. Y'all remember that? Some of you that are as old as I am, some of you younger, you don't remember the beginnings of it, but you remember what happened? Man, hey, we can see anything that happens in this world by sitting down, and you ain't even got to have a TV anymore. All you got to have is one of these goofy little things right here. Do you know I can pick this up, and I can see practically anything that goes on in the world today? There's been a bombing over the Middle East. Boop. Well, yeah, here's a picture of it right here. I mean, within seconds of those things happening. Isn't that amazing? But do you understand the Word of God said it was going to be like that? And do you understand now that me and you, through studying the Word of God and through living in the world we live in, we understand how and why and when all of that's going to happen? And I'm going to say that I don't know all the answers to everything. But I've often wondered about why in the world we've had such a dramatic rise in people getting tattoos. And if you got a tattoo, that's your business. You just jump all over and have fun. I'm just going to say this. If you do, you know, I used to wonder, why in the world, have you ever thought about this? And I don't know this to be the absolute gospel truth. But I'm saying, have you ever thought about this? When you get people that are so ready to accept anything, whatever it is, if it's a tattoo, if it's, you know, whatever, hey, that mark of the beast won't be so hard for folks to accept anymore, will it? Why, it's just another tattoo. Why, just put one right here in the forehead, middle of my forehead. Put it on the back of my hand. And then you know what the Bible says? People can't buy or sell unless they got the mark. Now, what I'm saying is, people in the world say, that ain't nothing. I mean, that ain't no big deal. That ain't nothing but a little thing. But to those that have studied the Scriptures and see the implication, you've learned to discern what the signs of the times are headed toward. And when you got a group of people that are ready to receive whatever, and that may not even be it. I don't know. I'm just saying, just imagine that. You know, we hear them talk about now that they're going to be able to microchip you. And they may well do that. I don't know. Don't have a clue. Guess what? I'm just planning on being gone when it all happens. I'm planning on Jesus coming back, and I'm going with him. But I'm just telling you, when you get into the Word of God, and the Word of God can get into you, you can have some discernment and some understanding about some things when you just say, Lord, I need some help today in what's going on in our crazy, crazy world. And the Lord said, look in my book, and I'll show you some stuff. And you begin to look at that, and you begin to see nation against nation and people against people and la-da-da-da-da on so on down the line, you can understand. But you know how you get to that place of understanding? God has showed you, and you've grown in him. You've learned how to eat some of that meat, and you've gotten into the strong meat of the Word of God. And it's helped you. And you've gotten out of that place of immaturity that says, oh, I don't know, I can't understand it. Get in the Word of God, and God will help you to see some. And again, that's why there are some older saints, some saints that have been through some things. They can help you to see and understand some of these things that even all of us may struggle with from time. Get in your Bible and get away from your immaturity. Amen. Brother William, come on. We'll sing a verse of a song tonight. Maybe there's somebody here. You need to just, you know, grow up. Don't be immature. As a matter of fact, if you go on